Welcome to the 16 Lookout Landing Unnamed Podcast, a very special episode. Today is the 2016 Baseball Prospectus Annual Drinking / Guessing Game. Technically, all games are drinking games if you're determined enough. My name is Patrick Dubuque. I am an editor at Lookout Landing and a translucent semi-present force at Baseball Prospectus. To my left,
Brennan Golowski.
And what do you do, Brennan?
I edit stuff for Lookout Landing, too, and I write occasionally for Baseball Prospectus.
And on my right?
Meg Robley. I contribute to Baseball Prospectus, and I write at Lookout Landing, often about Kyle Seager.
All right, and so we are going to be doing the drinking game. To give a background, this game was invented several years ago on the Defensive Indifferent podcast with, I believe, Michael Bauman, Liz Rocher, and Paul Boyer, I think. It was also done last year by Sam Miller and Jason Wojciechowski and Matthew Corey on the Back of the Bullpen podcast. And then a week ago, on Effectively Wild with Sam Miller and Ben Lindbergh. And now we have a complete description of who's done it before. Credit your sources. Also, if we're going to credit our sources, it was the Fangraphs has done it a lot, Carson Sestouli. So there you go, blame them. So to preface, the Baseball Prospectus Annual comes out every year. That's why they put a year on it. I was one of the co-editors. Brendan wrote the player comments for the non-40-man Mariner players.
And Stefan Romero.
Yeah, they're not prospects. I don't know. What would we call the Mariner version of what prospects are?
Oh, boy.
Minor
leaguers.
Humans.
Prospects.
They play baseball.
Okay. And then Meg wrote the Seattle Mariners essay that you should read. You guys should read all of it. Meg's essay was very good. It was all about Jerry Dipoto and whether Mariners fans should ever have any hope. I think the conclusion was no.
No.
You should feel bad.
You should feel bad, but have a little hope too.
Okay.
He has very nice hair.
He has very nice hair. That's true. I don't know if, did I cut that out of the essay? I think I got it.
No, it's in there.
Oh, okay.
Way to stay on top of your project.
There you go. I don't remember anything.
You had to make a lot of edits in your defense, so.
I did not, actually. All right, so we're doing the drinking game. Do you guys know how it works?
I do.
I expect that I will be drinking a lot.
Okay, so well, I'm going to explain anyway, because the listeners might not. So, what's going to happen is that we are going to take... I'm going to read, as the judge, the player...
Comments?
Captions. It's captions. It's captions.
It is listed as book comments on comments? Baseball Prospectus.
Ah, well.
On their player cards.
Well, I'm going to read them whenever they are. And I'm going to simply redact the player's name. And then each of you in turn will have a chance to try and guess who the player is. If you were wrong, then the other person will get a chance to jump in and steal the point by saying the player. And then they still get their own turn afterward. So the dominant strategy here is to not get any wrong. Don't make any mistakes. You can try and lull people into a false sense of security if you want, but probably just the best way. The dominant strategy is to get them all right. So okay, so let's get started. Do either of you guys have any particular coin flipping or listening or predicting skills you'd like to employ to your advantage?
Mm-hmm. I'll just defer to Meg. She can go first.
Oh, okay. God. Right,
well, there you go.
All right.
There's the power move. Confidence. All right. Let's start with our first caption.
We're not recording this, are we?
We are recording this. We're recording this right now. All right. So.
Oh, God.
Number one. Put it this way. The only time blank was accused of hitting a spot was in July, when he was ejected for plunking Christian Yelich. Otherwise, his control deserted him. His fastball lost velocity, his slider lost bite, and his promising career as a middle-inning stalwart took detours in triple and then double A. In between those assignments, the Mariners gave him the change of scenery golden ticket by sending him to Arizona in a Flotsam for Jetsam blockbuster. Whether he turns out to have been the Flotsam, the floating wreckage, or the Jetsam, gets thrown overboard, will depend on whether he can locate that strike zone again. Here's hoping for Jetsam. Feel free to talk your way through this if you need to. Like,
okay, so he went to Arizona, which means he was in that Wellington Castillo drink.
The Mark Trumbo deal.
Let's call it the Wellington Castillo train.
God. We could call it a dumpster fire if we want to be particularly accurate.
When Jack Reinheimer ends up with the most war from that trade,
will he really?
What's zero? Back? No, I don't think so.
But it feels right. So it was what we are affectionately referring to as the Wellington Castillo trade. Can I ask questions? Is that allowable?
Do they help you think?
Yes.
I think I got it.
I think I maybe have it, but I don't remember what end of the trade that this guy was sent. Was it Medina?
No, it was not. Brendan?
Damn it.
Don Leon.
Don Leon is correct.
You can swear it's okay.
God damn it.
So there's 1 point for Brendan. All right, so Brendan, it is now your turn. Yours will be... Blank has one of the least consistent deliveries in the majors, suffering from volatile timing as well as positioning. His saloon door stride has been known to swing into wildly different landing spots, turning the mound into a minefield on days that he pitches. When everything is going right, such as during the first half of 2015, Blank is able to maximize stability and keep the top half closed until he has both feet in contact with the ground. When he's off, there's no telling where his stride will be directed, and his front shoulder opens up earlier than a Vegas strip club. He tied with Jared Weaver for the most stolen bases surrendered among AL pitchers, as opposing base runners were a tidy 22 for 25 in taking advantage of the unpredictable motion and the unpredictable location of Blank's pitches.
Doug Thorburn wrote that, didn't he?
Yeah, kind of did.
Okay. Ubaldo.
Ubaldo is correct.
Damn it.
All right. Aww. That's the bell. The bell judges you. Okay, so 2-0. Wow. Off to a good start. All right, next.
Doug Thorburn does an incredible amount of research for his stuff. I'm intimidated.
Very detailed. That's great. Okay, next one.
Is the drinking part of this drinking game? Are you just drinking the whole time?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I'm complying with the rules.
I think we're all just sort of drinking beer. Mm-hmm.
Meg, Blank swings a bat like he believes that if he doesn't hit a home run, the bank will take his paws far away. That approach seemed to work for him in 2014 with Atlanta, but he turned back into a grizzly pumpkin when he made the move to Houston. He did achieve one of the most fun facts of the year by becoming the first player in 60 years to triple 11 times without stealing a base. Otherwise, he had a few more dingers and even managed to cut down on his strikeout rate a bit, but a depressed BABIP and an inability to get on base severely cut into his value. The fact that he hung up the catcher's gear for a full-time DH role also depressed his worth. He'll have time to redeem himself, but somebody should tell him that a single or a walk still might save his family's land.
That would be Evan Gattis.
That is correct.
Who is going to have a little more time. He's out 4 or 6 weeks after a hernia surgery. Poor Evans.
The Timberjack.
The Mountain. He's the Mountain.
He's the Mountain.
Brendan.
Sir.
Let's see. It's almost unthinkable after his fantastic 2014 season, but Blank could very well be done as a regular starting pitcher. He's never been a power pitcher, and his long limbs give him a deep release point that mitigates his declining velocity to some degree, but he might have finally found a speed at which his pitches are no longer effective. By the third time through the order, his sinker was averaging no more than 86 miles an hour, and the Nationals' front office grew concerned by mid-season that something had to change. Blank was moved to a middle-slash-long relief role, where he fared much better and figures to stay for the foreseeable future. This is an established pitcher just into his 30s, a pitcher who would likely have made $75 million or so if he'd hit free agency 1 year earlier than he did. You remember that unreliability of pitching prospects is more about the first P in Tin Stat than the second.
My first thought was Burley until you got to the 86, and that's way too fast. Before you factor in the declining blood, it's Doug Fister.
It is Doug Fister, you're correct. Brendan is taking my advice to heart on the strategy. All right.
Of just not being wrong.
Just never being wrong, yeah. It's an effective way. I'm really going to get these pages turned around too fast.
It is one of Brendan's more annoying traits that he is so rarely wrong.
All right, Meg. Like LeBron James's hairline, Blank refuses to believe he is done. Let us give him credit for keeping the dream alive well past the point anyone thought he could. The 33-year-old with the 73-year-old knees logged nearly 300 plate appearances for two teams across two leagues with essentially replacement-level success. He showed signs of life during his tenure with the Rays as left-handed platoon bat, feasting on fastballs and fasting on pitches with tilt. The performance will likely earn him a non-roster invite to American League camp this year. Playing the outfield at this point would be harmful to person and team alike. There are some holding hope for one last sizzle out of Blank. Meanwhile, Anthony Hamilton is still waiting for Charlene to come home. Neither appears likely at this point.
That's a hard one.
Is it a hard one? Yeah, I think it's easy, but I can see
the answer. Not.
I love that you're looking away as if me looking at you directly would somehow give away the answer to this question.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's in his eyes.
You can't see it, dear listener, but Brendan has this annoying look of confidence on his face.
I think I got it.
Which is super unusual for someone who routinely roots for the Seattle Mariners. God damn it, pass. I don't know.
I'm going to take a guess.
Well, I'm thinking, but I'm afraid of guessing wrong, even though the drinking doesn't really have consequences since we're just drinking anyway.
Passing makes you drink, too. It's not like you get out of it.
Well, there's just no getting out of drinking. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Jesse Barfield. Or Josh Barfield.
That was rude.
Oh, Lord.
Could it be Jeremy?
Jonathan?
He's kicking around somewhere.
He is. He's playing. Is he converted back to hitter now? Is he doing the...
Couldn't tell you. That's a great podcast title, the one I've been in. Where can a black kid get a haircut in Toronto?
Boy. Do you know?
I think so.
Go ahead.
Grady Sizemore.
Grady Sizemore.
Jesus
correct.
Christ.
All right, Brendan. That's sad. You know, I wrote an article a week or two ago about last baseball cards for players, and you really could stretch the theme to also being about the last caption in the annual, and that could be it. Like, you could definitely, that's a full profile. You got a whole 540 words, and you could see him not even going through line out. He could just disappear next year.
Does he get the honorary Cleveland Indian profile? Is his career long enough for that?
Just,
Willie Bloomquist just got one for
God.
Yeah.
Somebody over some right there.
Willie Bloomquist is a Hall of Famer somewhere.
I don't know who was editing that chat.
All right, poor Grady Sizemore.
Before, can we have like a brief discussion about the possibility of somebody like Grady Sizemore getting into the Hall of Fame? Is that attractive to you? Like a player who has a dominant run of 5 or 6 years, like a Cliff Lee, Grady Sizemore type? Because I feel like I'd rather have a Hall of Fame that rewards players like that than somebody like Mark Burley, if we were to take a candidate
the platonic ideal of the bubble,
right?
Hall of Fame candidate.
Yeah, it seemed like the Wars, when the Wars first came out, the temptation got to be to counting them all, and it felt good to be like, oh, this guy got 60 WAR. Tony Phillips,
right.
Tony Phillips has more WAR than you know, a couple Hall of Famers. I think he's in the 60s.
Sure. Yeah. Willie Randolph or Toby Harrah. There's plenty of players like that.
Yeah, and I still feel in my heart kind of sympathy for those players who were just so utterly underappreciated in their time.
Right.
Your Gritches, Bob, and your... You know,
I think there's a difference between underappreciated and
true
longevity. So, like, somebody like Bobby Gritch or Lou Whitaker clearly belongs.
Right, yeah.
But they're just caught in the bureaucracy.
I think that one of the things I wonder about... Grady Sizemore is a good example because the question comes down to... Do players control how healthy they are? Is this just is this something locked in their DNA that they're just not ever going to be Hall of Famers, and then they spend their whole life finding out that fact? That seems
that's cruel,
tragic. Yeah, like you just don't know until you're 27 that, oh, by the way, you're not good enough, and through no lack of effort or through any, you know, even skill. By how we would define
skill.
He's the
best player in the league for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Of course, if you ask me, the Hall of Fame would have about 700 or 800 members.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of there.
I'm a huge Hall of guy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It doesn't matter. He's never getting in.
My main problem with Grady Sizemore is that he would never get in because he's an Indian. And we just don't care about certain teams in the Hall of Fame. We don't want to represent all 30 teams.
Toby Hara.
Yeah, Toby Hara is a great example of it. Or if Toby Hara played for the Yankees, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
For sure.
And that's,
although Greg Nettles isn't.
Greg Nettles.
War. Willie Randolph's also over the 60 war.
Yeah, Nettles had that stink of Padres on the end of his career, though, right? It's kind of a Garvey, too.
Yeah.
If you finish your career with the Padres, that's all people remember. That they don't remember you. It just goes away.
Yeah. I just wonder if, like, the peak guys have to be, like, they have to be the Griffies, where the peak is so astronomically high, not only in terms of their baseball impact, but their cultural impact. And if you're going to make the peak argument, maybe that's the...
Yeah, Ruben Sierra is not enough, right?
Right.
Like, no.
Right? Like, but we do not care about Griffies, like, 10 last years.
No.
We just don't. We don't care at all.
But he was good enough long enough for the Mariners that he has the more than 10 years of being an excellent
That's
player.
True.
Right, yeah.
But I wonder
if the question
is,
what line is it? Is it 5? Is it 7? Is it...
Right. I wonder if the peak you need is, like, in the decade
so,
range.
Sandy Koufax is the weirdest Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, and you have all those situations where players just... retired for monetary reasons back then too. Like, you know, if you put Koufax in today, he would spend 3 years rehabbing his arm and then having a tiny little renaissance and being a two-win pitcher for a few years in his late 30s. And then he'd be an easy Hall of Famer because nobody would question it. It would just be...
I actually wonder if he doesn't get in that way. I think a big part of the legacy was retiring at the peak of his powers.
So the Roy Halladay...
Well, Halladay had that last bad year.
Right.
I think if Cliff Lee retires in 2012, he has a much better Hall of Fame shot than he does now.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it does make sense.
It's probably not in because he wasn't quite as dominant, but timing is too critical of a factor when people get in.
It is if the difference between the peak and the trough isn't very significant, right? Like, you have to have a pretty substantial difference between... The peak has to be pretty high to allow for the trough to be pretty low, right? If the difference between those two things isn't that significant, like, nobody gives a shit about the last couple bad years. Sorry, we're going to swear on this podcast.
Explicit tag.
Like, no one cares about, like, the last bad Jeter years because he was Jeter, right? Like, and he was transcendent before that. So you can have a pretty long bad tail, I guess,
is
my point.
Once you reach the threshold, you're
right.
In.
I guess so. Nobody cares about the mediocre Jeter years or the decent Jeter years. They're all great Jeter years.
Uh-huh.
That's neither here nor there. All right, Brendan, it's your turn. You're leading 4-1 right now. So congratulations. All right, your question is, quote, never mind, I don't want to use that one.
Fair.
Because I think
it was
I know you read it. All right, I'm going to give you a hard one. This is why Dory from Finding Nemo would make a good life skills coach for aging hurlers. Just keep pitching. Just keep pitching. Blank signed with Toronto last year and accepted an assignment in Buffalo's rotation, dutifully throwing strikes for 4 months and keeping a tidy ERA in hopes of a big league spot start. But Toronto burst into a contender while Detroit simply burst. A simple cash trade put Blank into the Tigers' rotation for the final 6 weeks. Perhaps his most impressive feat was throwing 50 pitches in an inning and only allowing 2 runs. In a game the team eventually won. Just keep pitching. Just keep pitching.
Are you allowed to read the first sentence over again?
Well, sure.
I won't do this.
This is why Dory from Finding Nemo.
The, the first actual sentence.
It's an actual sentence. All right. Blank signed with Toronto last year and accepted an assignment to Buffalo's rotation, dutifully throwing strikes for 4 months and keeping a tidy ERA in the hopes of a big league spot start. That's like half the comment was that person.
So the question is, what is the garbage that got sent to Detroit during the David Price trade?
I know.
I think it was completely separate. I think it was just...
Oh, is that a different trade? That wasn't the normal
trade. I think this was an August trade. I'm not sure, but I think this was an August trade where he cleared waivers.
Aww.
Yeah. Because I think this guy cleared waivers.
Oh,
I think he could have cleared double waivers if that existed.
I don't even know how that would work.
I don't either. I think that's where the player ends up having to pay the team back or something. I'm glad we don't have double waivers.
All right, this is especially bad because before every day in the season, I'll check the probable starters just in case I have enough time to watch a game on MLB TV. And this guy started for 6 weeks, and I don't really have any idea. Liam Hendricks, though it's wrong.
No, it is not correct.
No.
Meg, you want to steal?
My dear grad school friends who are really intense Tigers fans would
probably
be,
gave up on the season before this guy started.
Yeah, I was going to say they would be disappointed in me, but they might appreciate. They might appreciate me making like good self care choices by not watching the rest of those Tigers games. God, August Tigers games. I think the only Tigers starts I watched that late were Verlander's because they were actually good.
I don't think it's Verlander.
No. thank you. You mean it's not Verlander?
It could have been really earlier for them.
It could have.
Yeah, that is an apt description for much of the Tigers' rotation early in the year and late in the year. I don't know.
Okay. I'll give you guys a hint now that it's not worth any points.
It's not Brad Penny, is it?
No, it's not Brad Penny. Good guess, though. Good guess. This guy was actually hated on Lookout Landing for about 2 weeks in 2014. Was it 2000? Yeah, it was the beginning of the 2014 season. This guy was enemy number one for 2 weeks.
No, was he?
Also a good guess, but no.
He was enemy number one for like 4 days, I guess.
I mean, he was really bad.
Like, we fretted over this guy.
Oh, it's Randy Wolf.
It is Randy Wolf.
Oh,
you are correct.
Man, Randy Wolf is still alive.
He's still alive.
He's going to have a longer career, him or his brother, the umpire.
Aww.
Lefties pitch forever, I'm just saying.
All right, Meg.
Oh, God. I hate my turn.
From the spelling of his first name to his defensive reputation and career arc, nothing is ever what it seems with Blank, not even his contract. This part's going to be boring. Most free agent packs are structured so that the dollars are paid out evenly or at an escalating rate, as a means for teams to save coins during the time value of money. Blank's is not. This is not helping you.
No.
Halfway through his 4-year deal, he's already made nearly 60% of his contract's total payout, $53 million. It's turned out to be a beneficial arrangement for both sides, since Blank makes more money than he would have otherwise, and the Cardinals will have less of their budget promised to shortstop entering his mid-30s. Not that Blank's age is affecting him yet. He had another solid season at the plate, his fourth above-average effort in 5 tries, and his ability to actually improve as a shortstop in his 30s with his body type gives hope to every old Buick out there. Blank's contract didn't look like a steal at the time, but it's proved to be a bargain of a deal, albeit an unusual one.
I know who this human is, and I can't.
Sounds like the kind of comment that an accountant would pick.
Dollars per wars.
I know who this is, and I can't remember his name.
You can ring the bell out of despair if you like.
Oh, God.
You can throw it off the table, too. It's your house.
No, I don't want to break Patrick's stuff.
No, not the bell. That's actually my mom's.
I don't want to break your mom's stuff, either. That's worse. I'm annoyed because I know the answer, and I'm just blanking on his name. And it's going to bother me because you're going to say it and I'm going to be...
Well, Brandon's going to say it.
Actually. No, thank you. God damn it. Just say it.
It's Johnny Peralta.
Thank you. Good Peralta. God.
All right, 5-1.
Fuck.
All right. Back to the hard questions.
Uh-huh, thank you. I love that you gave me a softball and I was just like, nah.
All right.
Patrick's gonna have his comeuppance in a little while.
Yeah,
is he though?
No, he is.
And you know, the guilt is way worse for me because I have read basically.
He's read the entire book, and he is going to miss like 7 in a row.
Yeah. I know, but it's not good to for whatever. It's fine.
The Blue Jays, suffering from an embarrassment of offensive riches, waived Blank in August despite a slugging percentage north of 500.
Danny Valencia.
Yeah. See, that one I knew.
That was easy? That was easy, guys? All right, fine. I guess I have some sort of mental defense system to block out all Danny Valencia knowledge.
It was just weird when he got cut.
It was weird.
Well, but he's not very good.
And he's really not.
No, but it was still weird. That, yeah.
That's the gamble you take when it's August and your days.
Yeah, you know, it's they were a victim of their own success. It's one of my favorite jokes. That J.D. Martinez line. All right, Meg.
Oh, God. I hate my...
When Carlos Gomez was traded from Milwaukee to Houston at the 2015 trade deadline, a common topic for discussion was whether the Astros gave up too much. But they didn't trade 4 prospects for Gomez. They traded 4 prospects for Gomez and this guy. The king of the slow high fastball has settled into a role as a very useful engine, taking the mound every fifth day and producing mid-rotation results and once in a while a no-hitter. If there's a flaw in his game, it's everything. That 90-mile-per-hour fastball shouldn't work, his control isn't that great for a junk baller, and his home run rate will always be unsettling, especially in his new cozy confines. And yet, blank always gets it done, and he does it cheap. He's under team control until he's old enough to run for president. By then, he'll probably figure out how to pitch, and he splits the ball in half, and he'll still be striking out a batter in any. What did you just write down?
Nothing. A fact that I remembered, but now... The funny thing is that I saw him pitch in Miller Park right before I left Wisconsin.
Frighteningly bald.
Frighteningly bald.
Hey.
You're delightfully bald.
Exactly.
I don't get the distinction.
Is it
sides only? Is that?
It's the intense facial features.
Well, and also the fact that like he wears a baseball cap all the time, so the color differential between this bald and the face is very.
If you had to pick a doppelganger from Major League Baseball, it's David Aardsma, right?
It's yeah. It's
yeah.
I'm stalling because I both know the answer to this and also.
I don't want to brag about my baldness, but I do have a. An above-average head shape is a blessing.
What does that even mean?
It means there's no dents. There's no, like, it's round. It doesn't, there's no scars or anything.
There's no signs of blood.
Yeah, right, your head is, like, a very perfect...
Some people can't, they can't shave their heads. They just, they their head is either not, sometimes the top of their head's too sharp.
Yeah.
Or it's, like...
Some people can't shave their face either.
Yeah, no,
like they borrow their girlfriend's razor and they cut themselves four times with it in like 5 minutes.
Because they just have that sensitive of skin.
Brendan's not speaking personally right now. He is clean shaven as we speak. It sounded like a thinly veiled confession, but
no,
he is talking about an actual friend, not him.
Not him. Not a guy you just. You know.
Some people.
No one will believe that I have facial hair anyway.
Oh, I still have to answer this
question.
Yeah,
you kind of do.
Which means that I have to remember this kid's name. It was weird that he threw a no-hitter.
It was.
I remember that there was speculation that he was doctoring the ball a bunch in that because of the differential in...
You really remember everything about this player.
Except his name.
I think she deserves the point for this.
I kind of almost do.
I need, like, one more fact, and I think you have to give it to them.
Because I remember that there was speculation about that because the differential in velocity and also placement was pretty significant.
Wasn't there actually, like, video footage of his glove having...
Yeah. And it was his first start for them.
Yeah.
There was some real fire, that smoke.
Yeah, that looked not pretend.
Have to care, right, about the pine tar? Do we?
I don't care.
I feel like we had the opportunity last year with Pineda to just end it forever.
Yeah.
And we didn't. And now we're going to have... It's going to come up like 3 weeks into the season.
Oh, sure.
And there's going to be another guy with a giant stain. And we're going to have this conversation all over again. No one cares.
When the batters don't care, I...
Yeah.
The batters don't care.
If anything, it's a mild preference. Oh, you need to hold on to the ball better? Yes.
Yes.
Do that.
Yes, because...
Change the rules.
Because then you're not going to whack me with a fucking fastball.
No, I'm giving you the point.
Unless you're Jared Weaver.
Can you remind me? Oh, yeah. He gets no points.
No, he gets some points. His name is Mike Fierce.
Thank you. Good God.
Fires? Fierce? Fires?
Fires?
I would have said Fires.
It's Fires.
I like Fierce better, so that's his name from now on.
Okay.
He was a good...
It's nice. You know, it gets more of a dangerous sound to it. Yeah.
Can I tell you a funny story about him that means that I should definitely remember his name? So on one of my fantasy teams, I just streamed pitchers the entire year because the categories were stupid. And I happened to pick up Fires and stream him the no-hitter game. So I really should freaking remember his name.
You probably should.
Yeah. How many no-fantasy comments are we going to get?
That'll be my only one, I promise.
No,
it might not be. No. All right, Brendan. Let's give you this one. Good heavens, what a signing. I'm trying to narrate that like a children's story. Good heavens.
Oh, my.
What a signing. Colorado's been trying to isolate the attributes of a successful Coors Field pitcher for going on 20 years now, and it got them to blank. A contact-oriented pitcher who can't even boast a good walk or ground ball rate. Perhaps the Rockies like that he got by without the heavy use of the curveball, a pitch that BP author Dan Rosenson found suffers disproportionately negative effects at their home park. No matter the reason for the experiment, it failed miserably. Unless you were part of BP's Hacking Mass Fantasy game. There's your fantasy reference! Where sucking is the key, and where Kendrick was the preseason's most popular pick, he was also the format's MVP.
I did say Kyle Kendrick, but I was going to get it anyway.
I was too.
Did I say it?
You did.
Oh,
it's just
Kendrick. I didn't cross that one out. I trust you. I'll give you the point.
I have that one too.
I get it.
Yeah. I know things.
She started fist pumping very early in the
Code yellow.
Oh, no.
All right. Meg. You know, Kyle Kendrick is actually from Mount Vernon.
Yeah, he's a Washington kid.
I have a signature because, and I'm not sure if I'm legally allowed to say this, but I have his autograph because he signed a home loan with my mom's bank, and my mom just took out one of the, like, had him sign an extra document.
Oh my god!
And just took the page out of the file.
You have a really good mom, don't you?
She's nice. I never told her how bad Kyle Kendrick is. So
don't ever tell her.
She believes that the value of that signature is far greater than it actually is.
Or just tell her that he pitches on the
moon. And the funny thing is that for someone of Kyle Kendrick's quality, as a baseball player, not a person, I'm sure he's fine. but considering how long he's played, that gives him more chances to sign autographs,
yeah.
Which is actually devaluing that signature every year. Every year, there's more of them out there.
He also got the lowest score on Doug Thorburn's mechanical grade for momentum.
Interesting.
He barely strides towards the plate. He just kind of throws it. He's got really good arm speed and nothing else.
Aww.
You'd think you could coach that, but I don't know.
Yeah, some guys just sort of do what they do. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not gonna judge anybody about coaching anything because I don't operate in a world where coaches exist.
We're running a podcast here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
My master expertise. Meg!
Okay.
Only a few years ago, there was talk that Blank might be the rare player to sustain a BABIP above 350. As that talk muted, so did expectations for his career. Entering his age 29 season, Blank has now shuttled through three different teams over the last 2 years, and he's rapidly reaching the stage where we can expect multiple uniforms per season. He has a steady reputation as a strong defender who can also pop a few homers and stretch singles into doubles at a steady clip. But as his star potential has faded to the point of being snuffed out, so goes his playing time. The steady depreciation of his speed and offensive expectations increase the odds of his settling into a fourth outfielder or platoon role sooner rather than later.
Is it Austin Jackson?
It is correct.
Yeah!
Austin Jackson.
Nice one.
Former future Mariner,
aww.
Austin Jackson.
God, he was a really big deal for a hot minute there.
Yeah.
Nathan Bishop's favorite
player. Nathan Bishop's favorite player. I'm rooting for him to come back just so Nathan can write about him more.
It makes a weird amount of sense, maybe.
It does. I mean, we can have platoons at every position, right?
Sure.
I don't see why not.
Platoon!
Well, not because we're going to take a 12-man bolt.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We have like 3 off days in the first 12 days, and now we're going to have 7 relievers.
God.
For sure.
Pretty much. And who knows which 7 they'll be.
Really?
All right. Justin. King's out now. So
you're
not.
Who was it, though?
It was Justin DeFratis.
Oh.
All right.
I had to recognize the funk.
Yeah. By reaching double-digit home runs last season, Blank joined a select group of players who had homered at least 10 times in every year since 2007, a group comprising future Hall of Famers, former All-Stars, and this guy. In retrospect, it's hard to believe a third baseman who homered 30-plus times in 3 consecutive seasons never made an appearance in the Midsummer Classic. But that's the danger of looking at history backward. What's all this talk about Blank's past anyway? He's only 32, so what about the future? Alas, players with his skill set tend to age worse than our pop culture references. Ooh, self-burn. To wit, even in 2015, a successful season by his standards, he set new career worst marks in homers per bat and per fly ball. He still walks and runs into enough pitches to stick around and extend his streak to 2016. After that, hey, most people would love to retire before their mid-30s.
I'm always really bad at, like, the groups, like, the 10 home runs for 8 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta look at the backs of baseball cards. That's the way you get those down.
I don't.
You don't just stare at baseball cards?
Yeah, I can't say that I do.
Yeah.
Only when you're hanging out here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
Only when you're in this company.
And I can't run through the third baseman fast enough to justify all the time it's going to take.
You won't remember this guy anyway. I know. Maybe. I'm not saying you won't. But I'm not sure that trick will...
It sounds like he was a starter. Good poker face. Do you know, Meg?
No, I'm trying... I'm also running through the list. But now I'm skeptical that that is going to be fruitful.
I mean, Aramis is retiring, and he made all-star games, but he kind of fits the other criteria.
I'm not sure he deserves it. Aramis doesn't really deserve this level of scorn.
No, he really doesn't. Aramis had a really solid career.
Yeah.
Yay.
This is the kind of player who gets made fun of a lot, and it's very interesting to me.
It's like a Jeff Francoeur profile where they get more scorn than they probably deserve.
Well, there's a certain type of player who isn't trying any less hard, but because they play a certain way, they get made fun of more than other players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just kind of...
Well, walk.
Well, I guess they swing hard, and so they look selfish. It's the Gorman Thomas thing where he chicks dig the dingers, and that's what he basically said, I don't try and hit singles. I try and hit home run every single time.
That was the wrong era for him to say that.
I know.
He'd have been fine if he'd...
And now they assume every batter like Roman Thomas does the same thing. And I don't think they do. I think people are just people. Anyway, your 2 minutes on your plastic timer that I don't have here is almost done.
Yeah, I should probably just pass that one along.
All right, Meg, do you have a guess?
I don't have a guess.
All right, I will give you another hint. Now that's not worth anything. This is the subject of the greatest article ever posted at Baseball Prospectus. By Sam Miller.
Oh, no. Now that...
Sorry, Sam.
Yeah, God.
Oh, man.
Just raise the stakes
this is
in
an
such
article,
a weird way.
This is an article that basically made me stop writing for 2 days because it was so good.
Was it the one from this past October?
No.
Okay.
That was good, too.
By the way, the fact that we can list multiple
year.
Is like
oh, yeah.
the bigger problem here.
You guys are going to guess it. It's Mark Reynolds.
Oh.
And he was him, right? The Mark Reynolds is blind? Was that
yeah.
the Sam Miller article?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it was about Mark Reynolds. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Pulled it off. All right.
I don't really see 2016 being his last year.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't know. I mean, he strikes out all the time.
Yeah.
Like, so much. People hate that. People really hate it.
Should we have a sign bet here that he'll get a comment before the... He'll get a comment in the 2018 annual?
Make so? You give a side bet?
What are the terms of this bet?
If I'm still editing, I can just make sure. He can be this year's Josh Hamilton, and I can just accidentally drop him.
I mean, the Angels wish that they could follow suit.
All right.
That was quite the derby.
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Okay.
Oh god, it's my turn.
It's your turn, Meg. Snake bitten and stuck in an organization that's institutionally forgotten how to develop position players, Blank has encountered a lot of adversity over the last two seasons. In 2015, that included some utterly inscrutable promotions and demotions, a significant hand injury, and a rough introduction to big league pitching. Very rough. Please don't compare it to 2011 Trout rough. Really, really bad. Through all that, though, shown a player with absolutely electric skills, Blank will probably be the best defensive center fielder in the American League this year, and the American League is where Kevin's Pillar and Kiermaier play. Blank's speed and power are also evident, even if his control of the strike zone seems to be lagging behind. He's still a better bet to win an MVP award than the mass majority of 22-year-olds.
Gallo?
No.
That's not a terrible guess.
It's not a terrible guess. Especially with the batting eye.
Yeah.
Comment. I can see where you go there.
Yeah. All right.
But Gallo's not going to be the best.
No.
He's going to maybe be an okay left fielder for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Byron Buxton
is correct.
Oh, yeah.
He really undersold the best prospect in baseball for like 3 years running.
Yeah.
Element of his profile.
Well, maybe people were tired of hearing it after the best year, 2 years running. You know, you got to come up with something to say, right?
I think that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Poor guy.
I mean, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine too. Okay.
For Washingtonians, it's like finding the number one prospect in baseball out of like a 2A high school on the fringes of Tacoma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
Yeah.
All right, Brennan. We're as uncomfortable with this as anyone. Imagine reading in last year's book that blank, most recently seen in 2013 when he compiled an ERA higher than Wiz Khalifa's plane, would return and play a pivotal role in a contender's bullpen. You would have shouted Tommy Rot and thrown the book aside. Yet that's what happened. Blank joined the Pirates in July and after an unheralded trade, trimmed his arsenal, more sliders and fewer curveballs, and looked like a different pitcher, maybe because he was. Studies on near-death experiences have shown that those who have them become lighter in heart and soul. To our knowledge, nobody has ever done a study on the effects of near-retirement experiences to see if there's a similar effect, but maybe someone should. Consider pitching guru Jim Benedict a believer. Here's what he said he told David Todd about him. Quote, "It's not uncommon for guys who do come back. They go into the bullpen. They're ultra-aggressive. They've already ended it. They're just starting a new chapter." Unquote.
So a Pirates reliever that came over mid-season.
Yeah, and was bad before he did.
Bad
before. But get this, Brendan. Uh-huh. A pitcher who got better...
After
he joined the Pirates.
Yeah.
I'm going to quit show business with
that
noise.
I can't give you a better hint than that.
Yeah, there's only 17 of those to choose from.
I know. I can't believe you can't narrow it down more.
Maybe A.J. Shugel at some point.
Is that your guess?
No.
Okay.
Justin Wilson.
Good guess. No.
Relievers are hard.
One of my favorite onomatopoeias in baseball.
Oh. Fuck. Who ended up with the Pirates?
Guessing bullpens retroactively is also so difficult. Like, name...
Yeah, half of them have moved already.
Name the 2013 Rangers bullpen right now. You can't do it.
Tolleson was in there still? Was he? Was,
I don't think he was there
I don't
yet.
Think he was there
no,
yet.
Yeah, it wasn't that...
Nathan. Joe Nathan was... Closer then. Alexia Gondo was still there because he was terrible there as to where he is now.
Known gentleman, Joe.
Neftali Belize. You picked the wrong team. I actually got like three of them.
I'm going to look those up. I didn't have to make
probably,
sure
probably only one of them is, but I sounded confident.
You did. That's a comment if anybody's still listening.
Yeah. Blanton?
Blanton is correct.
Yes!
Nice, Meg.
Nice job. That bell is probably way too loud.
It's very close to the microphone.
Yes, it is.
We'll move it over here.
All
right. Yes.
Okay.
I'm coming back, you guys.
Meg. The fragility of a BABIP-driven profile was on display at two positions at U.S. Cellular Field in 2015, but there's no question Blanks was the headline act. For the second time in 3 years, his shaky defense in left field and failure produced the power required of a shaky defensive left fielder made Blank an overpaid replacement-level player. In 2015, his strikeouts ticked up, his BABIP dropped lower than it had been in half a decade, he walked as rarely as ever, and, well, we've pretty much named all the player parts of baseball. He's a bad base runner, too. Okay, we've named them all. It's a high-variance game he plays, and he could bounce back in 2016. At 32 and in need of some shelter from even a corner outfielder's defensive responsibilities, though, he's no longer a good bet. This is way harder.
Good bet.
Why did I mark this as an easy one?
Yeah, God.
Yeah, sorry.
Why?
You said good bet or good bet?
He's no longer a good bet.
Okay.
So one thing I've realized...
You just told Joe Blanton.
Yeah, I know. He's talking. You're on house money right now.
Jesus Christ.
Right in the Joe Blanton way. I don't know if I'm the only person who does this. All right, so everybody has their blindnesses, and so Megs are obviously names, but
not normally.
Patrick,
no, you're not wrong, but like,
you're on the
no,
air.
But also I, not normally. Like
but,
I normally,
but mine
do
are
this.
Mine are in real life, which is much more damning. Like, you know, there was a new person in payroll today, and I don't remember if she's looking what her name is. But no, for me, I have two spots. I do. Well, that'll be awkward when I do though. There are two things that I can never remember in baseball, and one is which hand anybody throws with, because I just don't care.
Right.
Ricky Henderson?
I can't... Well, I know Henderson, because he's my favorite player.
Aww.
But I just don't remember which side anybody throws their bats from. Part of it is that I listen to radio instead of watch games on TV.
Right.
So I can't visualize it, but I don't know. There's like my brain has decided that whatever the cutoff point is for information, that doesn't make it. And the other one I don't know is the name of any stadium other than Safeco and Petco. Those are the only two stadiums I remember.
Unless the
stadium is named after the team. Like, U.S. I would take me probably 15 tries to name U.S. Cellular Field.
Isn't that where the Twins play?
It is not where the Twins play.
Fuck, I'm terrible at this too. Target Field. God, because that's...
Because they're all terrible corporations, and who cares,
U.S.
Right?
Cellular is White Sox?
Yes, it is.
I think the fans should just call it by...
Whatever it was called before the last... Yeah,
White Sox fans should go Comiskey or White Sox Park. Right. I don't trust
them. They do a Candlestick, right? People still kind of call it Candlestick. Or do they give it up on that? I'm the only person left who
gets it. They literally tore Candlestick down, so they no longer call it.
But often what they'll do is they'll do, like, Candlestick Field at... You know,
no, people
are... Recon Park.
It was disheartening to see in our Slack channel people calling it AT&T, because, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's had four names. It's going to have a couple more.
Yeah.
And it's such a nice park. It does not deserve the corporate feces that come with
That's part of why I like Safeco, because even though Safeco is obviously like a corporate name, you can shorten it to something that isn't, right? Like some people call it the Safe.
It's a baseball
team. Guess.
And the Reds lucked out.
Yeah.
They got Great American Ballpark.
Which is the best thing ever.
You know, I
got Blanton because of the onomatopoeia.
Did you? Was that it?
Yeah.
I think I tweeted that joke a couple weeks ago.
Of course you got it because of the onomatopoeia.
Meg rewarded for reading my tweets.
It's the pun break.
It wasn't the arm angle.
People don't name their own houses, and I find this very interesting because of all the things that people name, they name boats, but they don't name cars.
A lot of people name cars.
Do they name? Do you guys? Have you guys?
I don't name cars because I don't.
My girlfriend did.
Really?
Did she name your car? Then you have to call it that because you've never claimed it. That's
right.
One of the important things about naming.
don't tell her that. She'll do it like 10 seconds.
Well, she's going to listen to this. You have.
She's not going to listen.
Okay.
Aww.
I'll send her an email or something.
But we
you have basically, like, if you choose not to name something, and then somebody else comes and names it, you had your chance. You have to go by that name. Unless you think of one that's better, but even then there's like forms you have to fill out and shit. It's not practical.
You
just name things.
You didn't name your son by any chance, did you?
Did I name my son? Yes, I had a part in it. Like there was a lengthy dialogue.
It's the best name.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the who cares about the White Sox defense and say that I'm drawing a blank here.
Okay.
Melky.
Oh.
Melky Cabrera is correct.
Oh, poor Melky.
Poor Melky. Another Look Atlantic special. People very upset that we didn't sign Melky Cabrera a couple years ago.
Were they?
Yes. Yeah, he was a free agent, and we didn't get him. We almost got him.
We almost got him.
We fell a million short on the deal.
I remember.
It was last year. Wasn't it?
Was it last year?
It was before 20...
I think it was 2000...
It was
yeah.
14.
It was before
14.
It was after 14.
Yeah.
And
because
yeah,
12, he was awesome with the Giants. 13, and then he got suspended.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he went to the Jays and cratered because he had, like, cancer or something like that.
Awful. He had an awful thing.
And then he bounced back. And
but then didn't...
He'll probably be fine next
but
year.
Then,
he's Melky Cabrera. This
didn't
is what he does.
We,
yeah.
Then didn't we get Nelson Cruz because we didn't sign Melky Cabrera?
Well, we didn't get either of them the first year. Because that was 2014. That's when we gave Cruz the...
No.
Same offseason.
Yeah, Melky was the same year as Cruz.
Melky was a Jay in 2014. So last year was his first year with the
Red Sox. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Yeah, because we did offer Melky first, didn't we?
Right, and then he said no, and then we got Cruz.
Woo!
Good job, Jack.
Woo!
Well right. done.
Brendan. The old AAA backup catcher turned starting DH chick. Blank toiled at Norfolk for most of yet another season, earning only a Memorial Day vacation in Baltimore before the Orioles recalled him for good in late summer. In 10 torrid games as the everyday DH in August, he lifted his career OPS by some 50 points on the strength of a .387 BABIP, then collapsed to a .216, .245, .353 September line that was familiar to his fans. The Mariners acquired him in December, which saves Blank from a life of being Baltimore's last reminder of the Jake Arrieta trade. It's unlikely he'll make enough of an impression to remind him fans of Mark Trumbo or Wellington Castillo or Yoavis Medina or him.
Steve Clevenger.
Yep.
That is correct.
Oh, you were too Clevenger by half.
There we go. I was wondering.
You know
it worked.
You know it was coming. There's an inevitability to that joke.
Alright, I lost all the words.
Right. He has quite the drawl, the southern drawl.
Does he?
He does, which is weird because he's from Baltimore.
There was a. Oh, well, that's kind of.
He went to school in Louisiana, so.
There you go.
Picks up
He was.
That's what he said at FanFest.
Half the subject of a BP article not that long ago. Because Josh Kushnick's his agent.
Hmm.
And he has that recurring BP column. It's actually really good. I like that. It's very different than pretty much anything BP or FanGraphs or the like does, but. Yeah. How's that for a fact?
I'll go back and read it. Alright, Meg. Blank. For most of the year. I don't know why I said blank in place of his name at the top of the article. For most of the year, it looked like Blank's part of the 2015 season would last approximately as long as Miles Archer's in the Maltese Falcon. He exited his fourth straight start of the season with a torn Achilles tendon.
Aww.
An injury that was expected to sideline him for 9 to 12 months. Yet there he was, some 5 months later, marching to the mound to make a relief appearance. Hey, who said Marcus Stroman was the only pitcher with superhuman healing powers? Blank pitched out of the bullpen just 3 times during the regular season, but showed enough command and stuff, including his signature curveball, to earn a spot in the Cardinals' postseason roster as a reliever, and he was good. Given what we saw from Blank, we expect him to rejoin the rotation heading forward, and for him to do so without showing any ill effects from the injury or the layoff.
Adam Wainwright.
Adam Wainwright is correct.
Yes! I paid attention. I know about baseball. I'm
scores 9-4.
Apparently terrible with names.
I've spread the curse to you.
God, I'm normally better with this stuff.
All right. Blank posted some cringe-inducing numbers last season, but were willing to grade his first full season in the bullpen as an incomplete. His lack of reliable secondary offerings have long meant his days in the rotation were numbered, and as expected, his low 90s fastball played up in relief and led to increased strikeout and swinging strike rates. However, he struggled with both command and control.
This is the most generic
relief.
I was about to say, like, is this just, like,
And between the walks and the line drives and 2 stints on the DL, he never found his groove. Blank has the goods to get dig outs on the pen. If he's out this summer, he'll be well positioned to start proving it.
Oh my god. I have no idea, and I'm
this could
so
be
sorry.
27 guys.
Yeah, I had
like
to throw this in.
People that
I had to throw in the high upside reliever.
Was he ever a 101 prospect?
I don't think so. He was a starter.
So he is very much the
first
platonic
full season
ideal.
In the bullpen is incomplete. He was a starter before he went to the bullpen.
Okay.
We got one basic clue in this entire caption. And it's not that good, actually.
Aww.
I think when I put it down here, I thought it was a better clue than it is.
Well, I don't think Meg's going to steal a point.
No, I'm definitely not. I have no idea.
Was he up in the big leagues the full? Can I ask that?
Sure, if you expect me to give you an accurate answer.
Wow.
Well, no, I woke it up. I'm pretty sure he had a full season as a starter before his full season, or semi-full season as a reliever in 2015.
So it wasn't like an Alan Webster situation?
No.
In the bullpen
no,
for like 6 days.
Right. It was surprising. I'm not going to give you the point anymore, but it was surprising when they decided to demote him, given what their rotation looked like. And he did it right away.
This year or?
This year.
Yeah.
Also, my hint, saying his lack of reliable secondary offerings is incredibly charitable. He has no secondary offerings.
It's pretty much straight.
He has one pitch.
But it played up in the bullpen.
It
never does that. This kind of sounds like Cingrani.
It is Cingrani.
What?
Tony Cingrani.
Wow.
That was enough hints. Let's say Cingrani threw like what 93% fastballs or something.
I
wouldn't
have gotten
that. It was surprising with the.
Yeah, because they had no one, and
they
ran
out
did
five
eventually.
Rookies anyway.
Right, they had 5 rookies, and by the end of the year they had some interesting rookies. They still didn't have 5 of them, but
no.
But
and the most interesting one pitched really badly.
Yeah,
Lorenzen.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a weird choice. I don't know.
I'm surprised they didn't go back to it at some point later.
Especially like I can see turning that guy into a closer, Brett Cecil style, and just saying, okay, well, you know, but they didn't need that. They had Aroldis, yeah. So why? Like,
yeah.
we need this guy. We need to teach him how to throw the seventh inning.
Just weird choice. But why though?
Cincinnati Reds. I don't get you. All right, Meg.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones fans will be familiar with Beric the Lightning Lord Dondarrion. I assume that's how you say his name. I never watched the show. A good and just knight who's used to introduce resurrection into the series. Unfortunately, Beric's tale turns sour when we learn that each time he's brought back, he loses more and more of his old self. So it goes with Blank, whose own comeback tale with the Red Sox met a gory end in August, after he struggled all season long. Blank's drastically reduced barrel velocity has rendered his once potent fastball slider combo lifeless, and his ability to log 200 plus innings is fading relic as well. The former Red Sox farmhand has always had trouble with lefties, but in 2015, Southpaws hit like Babe Ruth against him, batting 307, 409, 508, with 17 extra base hits. Blank will be just 31 this season, and perhaps deserves one more shot as a rookie or a long man. But as Arya Stark will remind you, all pitching careers must die.
I had an Andrew Bailey vibe until we found out he was a starter in the
Red
Sox farmhand.
He was one of the big five. No, I shouldn't say the big five. He was one of the number three starters. The five number threes that the Red Sox.
What were they called that?
I don't think they call themselves that.
I hope they didn't.
But,
I mean, it would be like kind of
that was that
nicely
would be,
self-knowing if they did, I guess.
I think that was what the Red Sox fans were you know, consoling themselves with. We don't have an ace.
Yeah.
Five number threes. It averages out.
Sure.
It didn't average.
That's close to maybe not actually being a thing. God, I don't know.
Well, now the Mariners are basically doing it now with one ace.
You know, we don't have to talk about that. It'll be fine. Or it won't be. We'll find out soon. I'm stalling because I don't know the answer to this. Now I'm thinking about the Mariners rotation.
And he was in Boston last year.
Yeah. He's not in the Mariners this year. He's not winning my
No, I know.
All their stars got crushed last year.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Except for Miley. Miley was
except for,
number three starter.
He wasn't even that
great. He wasn't great.
He was
them.
Yeah. He was.
That defense did him no favors.
Yeah.
No, that park also didn't.
Did me favors, though. It was great.
Aw.
I hope it comes back. I hope they put Hanley back and left just for me.
Just for fun?
Just for me.
Put him in the same outfield as Will Myers.
Yeah.
And Darren Ruff.
I don't know.
Tell Jason Vargas, I'm sorry.
Brennan, you got a guess?
That he was in the Red Sox kind of. I also had a Ruby vibe, but. And it wasn't Buchholz was actually the one who was good.
Yeah. Buchholz was good for a while.
I made inappropriate puns about him on Twitter.
Not right.
No. I was trying to do that to encourage you. Give you positive vibes. But you guessed right as I was pushing the button. No, it's Justin Masterson.
Oh.
Yeah,
he was back last year.
He was still around then. All right, we're running low. All right, Brennan. Over the last two seasons, Blank has thrown 86 innings, been traded three times, hit the DL for the first time in his career, and earned $23.5 million, including his 2016 buyout. If you want to get granular, that's $273,255 per inning, $500,000 per strikeout, and $3.4 million per win, and $1.9 million per abandoned cornrow. The Guy Fieri of back-end starters, both in quality and looks, is about to enter his age 39 season, but when we last saw him on the mound, he was still limiting walks, giving up gopher balls, and doing just enough to skate by. Until he retires, some team will likely let Blank eat up innings on the cheap once more. Though the unfortunate realities of Dead Tree Media mean that we went to press without knowing his fate.
What was the second half of the last sentence?
The unfortunate realities of Dead Tree Media mean that we went to press without knowing his fate.
Dead Tree Media.
Yeah.
So $23 and pretty bad. That's what you get for $23, I guess, but $23 million. I think Patrick is sharing a...
I'm doing a really good job of not yelling at your phone.
My wife just texted me a picture of my children.
They're
laying in bed and they look happy. They are adorable. The younger one's making eye contact, so it's very validating as a parent.
It's not Latos, is it?
It's not Latos, no. You have a guess?
I don't have a guess.
It is the Latos of his time, Bronson Arroyo.
That was my second guess.
Should have made your second guess.
Yeah. All right, Meg.
Oh, God.
Alanis Morissette thinks it's ironic that Blank finished 2015 with the Angels because he's developed a reputation as being, let's go with, difficult to deal with. It's tempting to roll with that narrative.
It's Shane Victorino, right?
It's tempting to roll with that narrative as an explanation that is very, very, very self-assured of me. As an explanation for why he's already found himself a part of 5 different organizations, but as always, performance is the true key. The Big Righty posted just north of 2 WARP in 2014 and 2015 combined, has become increasingly homer-prone despite leaving Great American Ballpark, and has dealt with a myriad of injuries. He's young enough and talented enough that he'll likely earn 6th and 7th and 8th chances, but he comes with more red flags than a Swiss slalom course. At least he's good at naming cats.
Oh, it's Latos.
Yes, it is.
I guess you had to roll that one out
there. Yeah, I did. Sorry. Cat Latos is the best thing that's ever happened.
Cat Latos is wonderful. I actually, you know, it's cool to hate Latos now. I always hated him as soon as I found out he didn't pronounce his name Latos, which is what I called him for like the first 5 years of his career.
He has a bad tattoo.
You're
a Latos hipster?
Basically? I've been down on Latos ever since he first started.
He got a lot of money.
He was pretty good for the first like 7 years of his career.
I don't think it was that long. He's only been around since like 2010.
Yeah, it wasn't that long, was it?
I don't know.
He's getting a lot of money. He's been with a lot of teams.
I don't know. He had that big contract with the Reds. And that's where he got all the money. Yeah. With the Reds. Alright.
What is up with the Reds?
Your last question, Brendan.
Okay.
A story that should be considered nothing short of remarkable no matter the end result. Blank completed his second reinvention in 2015, returning to his roots as a pitcher. Serious thoughts that he would step back into a major league mound started surfacing late in 2014, when Blank was with AA Reading. The numbers weren't gorgeous, but he had rediscovered his breaking ball and was touching the mid-90s with his fastball. Add in an injury to Mario Hollins in the spring, whoever that is, and just like that, another comeback was within reach. I had no idea that Mario Hollins was in the way of anybody's dream.
So is someone.
Blank flashed impressive stuff at times, but more often looked like pitching was still new to him, allowing a hit and a walk per inning. He did strike out about a quarter of the batters he faced, so even after all that, an effective reliever may yet be dormant within him.
Adam Loewen.
That is correct.
Aww. He was a mess.
Poor Adam Loewen.
Adam Loewen had an amazing career.
Anytime you've got the chance of a Brooks Kieschnick, you just suddenly have to root for it to happen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want it more than anything. Like you knew Rick Ankiel could never pitch again, and so it was kind of, you didn't think about it. But with who's the other one?
Jason Lane.
Oh, Lane and Frank Cor. Well, yeah. I mean, the ones that go the other way, I just don't ever believe.
The ones who
are hitters first to try and convert to pitcher.
Yeah.
If they do it, like, if they do it when they're 20, like Jensen.
Like, Jason Lane's, like, what, 35?
Yeah, and Jason Lane, I kind of...
He started a big league game in 2014.
He did, for the Astros.
Padres.
Was it the Padres?
No,
God, that's even more depressing.
Also, Adam Loewen started. I once, when I was a wee lad, collected autographs, and saw him and Nick Markakis walking down the street together wearing I Am With Stupid t-shirts. Everybody else on the Orioles wearing a suit, including Daniel Cabrera, except for Markakis and Loewen.
So, did you recognize all the Orioles? Were they walking down like Reservoir Dog style?
Yeah, like, were they all in a pack with signs?
No. Were they snapping?
No, they filtered out of their hotel at times. They were an interesting team. Jeremy Guthrie would only sign cards with him on the Orioles.
Interesting.
Which is not typical.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, especially considering how many teams he's
yeah. built. Yeah. He wasn't unfriendly, but he was a little...
You should have asked him to play chess. I've always... Like, Jeremy Guthrie, he's one of the chess players. I did tweet him. I violated my no interacting with players rule. Mm-hmm. And I tweeted Jeremy Guthrie, and I just said 1e4. He didn't respond. I was hoping he would... I was hoping that he would take the bait and we could play again chess, but...
Oh, well. That is the major like Twitter violation these days. People who tag players into your comments.
When you've already talked about someone and they tattle on you. It's never actually happened to me.
It's happened to me.
With who?
Oh, wasn't it Salvador Perez, wasn't it?
It was Logan Morrison.
Oh, it's Morrison. Oh.
I said
he could respond.
Yeah.
I said mostly nice things about Lomo. Like it was right after he got traded and I was kind of nostalgic, like I wrote a sort of nostalgic thing.
Yeah, he had a nice piece about it.
He had some good moments.
He had some good moments, and that was the piece, but like the part that whoever it was chose to like focus in on was me realizing that Lomo had lost track of the count and thought that the inning was over and then got picked off at first because he just very slowly sauntered back against the A's. But
kind of got aware of that.
No, you know, but it happens to everybody. Cano did it.
Like, he also hit a walk-off.
Yeah, really Cano started walking over third.
That was the worst.
With the bases loaded.
God.
I made a gif of that of that image of him doing it. And I don't do a lot of graphic stuff, but I used MLB TV. I made the gif, and I was, like, waiting for that moment of realization for Robinson Cano that, oh, my God, I need to turn around. His face just didn't change. Like, his body snapped back, and he started going back. But
never...
the face just, it was like, he was already dead. Like, by the time he figured out that he was off base too far, he was already gone.
Just doesn't change.
Yeah.
He's going to be chewing gum with half a smile in his casket.
Well, and he didn't even have the, like, Lomo moment of redemption in that game, because, like, Logan Morrison walked us off in the 11th when he lost track in, like, the third. But... we did not do well in that Dodgers series. Man. Anyway.
All right, last one. The only pitcher in baseball to last year to miss time with vertigo and get dinged for illegal gambling. And those might have been the high points. Blank allowed the league's second hardest average exit velocity to go with his traditionally atavistic peripherals. Despite a fastball that sits 95, he has never been able to even an average strikeout rate as a pro. And while he burns his share of worms and his spotty command has the predictable consequences for his consistency. Blank has had a handful of peripheral-defined stretches of competent production as a big leaguer. But he's perilously close to that 1.683 ERA season that causes everyone to give up on him until he reemerges 2 years later as a relief ace.
There could be several people that
Several people had missed vertigo and got down for their gambling. That was the comment right there.
You can
there.
Delete that part if you
want. That was that's your clue. You don't know it from that. And I don't think I would have remembered. I remember the story at the time. I remember there being a big deal at the time. Then it died 5 years later, 5 days later, because we realized we weren't going to be able to burn him alive, and it went away. It is Jared Cosart.
Oh.
Yeah, was it a DraftKings thing, or was it...
God, I don't have any memory of that.
I think that he did DraftKings on...
To guess that.
Did you...
I was going to guess Joe Kelly.
I know Joe Kelly's comment, because I remember it being written.
If you take out the vertigo and daily fantasy stuff, it's like pretty much... the same.
Yeah, no, it's we really could have stopped at that point. Because, you know, Jared Cosart has no individual characteristics other than his terrible air. All right, so the final score is 11 to 5.
Really?
Yes.
It's that bad?
Which means that Brennan wins the 2016 Topps Brandon McCarthy card. So congratulations. He's smiling in the card, even though he's in the mid-pitch. I think he's self-aware, even as he's pitching.
I mean, that makes sense, given who it is.
So, yeah. Thank you guys both for coming.
We've got a couple for you, Patrick.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
We'll start.
So, of course, having read every single one of these, it will be triple shame when I don't know any of them. I'll face away from the book.
All right. You ready? This is kind of a long one. So you can interject anytime if you get it. Enduring
Danny Tartable.
Well, very close. All right. Enduring the sophomore slump to end all sophomore slumps. You got it?
Xander Bogaerts?
No. He was actually good last year.
Well, after he endured the sophomore slump, though.
Yeah. Blank would surely love to pretend 2015 never happened. If there is something to build on, however, it would likely be found in the final four starts of the season, each with two or fewer runs allowed despite their relative brevity when nobody was paying attention. There was some editorial insight towards the end there. Everything prior to that, from the 8.76 April ERA to the severe ankle sprain in AAA to the negative 12 game score in a mid-August outing in Arizona, held little light. Blank wasn't expected to be more than most likely to be serviceable in the yearbook of Philly's starting pitching. But his regression was still a bit disheartening, as it's tough to root against the success of one of the few pitchers going today who could be labeled a crafty righty. Indeed, that's Blank's A-game. He aims to keep hitters off balance and off the barrel with a cutter and curve to offset a modest fastball that doesn't move a ton.
Is this Aaron Hurran?
It is not.
Oh.
You want to keep going?
Sean O'Sullivan? All right, then I give up.
David Buchanan.
Okay.
Oh, man. What is a David Buchanan?
You know, David Buchanan is somebody that I didn't even consider putting in my column.
Beneath your notice.
I sure was disappointed by David Buchanan's 2015, almost as much as he was.
Yeah, no kidding.
Almost.
That was awful.
Man, embarrassing.
Let's pile on with Mick. What do you have to say?
It's just a weird name.
You know, shares the name of the worst president.
Right. Yeah. And if you're going to commit, like, go all
poor
the way.
Poor choices.
Oh, my.
You ready for round two?
Yeah, no, let's go for it.
We're going to get angry mom emails.
Right, David Buchanan 2.
Wait, do I have to go again?
You can guess on...
Okay.
If you can beat Patrick to it, I encourage you to.
Oh, okay.
That's definitely...
So it's the lightning
definitely
round.
Not going to happen, but
it's
okay.
It's a lightning round with like a 150-word comment.
Right. Oh, no.
Blank is an anachronism in a generation honeycombed with instant superstars. Over his first season and a half in the big leagues, he's followed the traditional step-by-step maturation path as opposed to the increasingly crowded shortcut taken by Trout, Harper, Machado, and so on. That doesn't mean his progress is always steady and clean. He followed an outstanding August, in which he hit 330, with 10 extra base knocks with a brutal September. Nonetheless, it's impressive that Blank held his own as a 23-year-old, and he's shown enough flashes to think he could still grow into the star many pegged him as during his prospect days. So far as that's concerned, his power could be the detriment. He's tall and long-levered with well-above-average raw pop, observations that clash with his career 120 ISO, a figure more befitting a second baseman. Power is supposed to be the last thing that clicks in young big league hitters. For Blank's sake, he's hoping it does soon, before folks begin lobbing words like disappointment at what man. I think it's a little early for disappointment.
23.
I think the profile does him a lot of justice. I think that's a really good profile. That doesn't help you at all.
No, it doesn't. 23.
Should we start dropping hints?
Yeah, a little bit.
National League.
Yeah, I was there.
Well, all right. And,
you've taken me a place I've already been. Yeah, let's go into that part.
Well, who is it, Patrick?
Oh, my.
Well, it's not. He's on the Reds. Let's see.
No. I mean, yes, but...
Go ahead. You got to guess.
No,
guess.
But you kind of... No. You go.
I think you enjoyed Patrick's sweater.
Is he a brewer?
He is not a brewer.
Okay. No, I should have... If he were a brewer, I would have known, because I would have added that one directly. So, is he a first baseman?
He's an outfielder.
Okay, I was stuck on first baseman. That's probably my problem. What?
Water. Yeah, it sounded better internally. His fly balls could conceivably land in water.
I see.
Though they haven't yet. That's the 120 ISO.
So I guess that we've learned that not only do I not know ballpark names, I actually don't know anything about any ballpark. I know there's water in San Francisco. But let's see. Water is Pittsburgh then, right?
It is
Pittsburgh. It is Pittsburgh. There's rivers around Pittsburgh. So we got an outfielder in Pittsburgh. That would be not Marte. Not McCutcheon. So Polanco?
It is Polanco.
Okay. Hey.
By the way, Polanco
was a long winding road.
With water, there's a lot of pun potential there. If he can actually land one.
You would think you'd use them all up on Placido Polanco.
Nonetheless.
I've gotten one pun into this podcast. That is shocking.
Yes, you did.
But just one.
I already shut it out. I can't remember what it is.
All right. I'm going to skip the mean prospect reliever that I had planned for you.
Oh, okay. Aww. Thank you.
Because you didn't edit that section anyway.
You should have thrown one. You should have thrown an acknowledgement in, and I'd have to guess the odd.
Oh, we can do that too.
Let's not.
Nate, you work on that. I've got a couple for Patrick here. Mm-hmm. The good news is that Blank faced 84 batters last year, which is 84 more than he faced in 2014, while recovering from a second Tommy John surgery. That's probably the crucial detail.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
The bad news is that during his fourth minor league rehab start in early May, he sustained a gruesome medial epicondyle fracture, that's an elbow, that ended his season and stabilized him to go into the knife yet again.
Lubke! Is it Corey Lubke?
It's not Corey.
Are you sure?
I can't spell.
No.
The latter procedure was downplayed as being merely to clean up and repair or stabilize the fracture as opposed to a third TJ. But timetables have become pointless.
Josh Johnson.
No, not a bad guess, though. Not that much service time.
Oh, okay.
Or
is high it, no, three TJs. Beachy.
No, it's only two TJs.
Is there really?
He did have two. Even before this last setback, the list of starting pitchers to make a successful return from a second TJ.
This is going to kill me.
It's an admittedly small sample. It's basically Chris Capuano.
Yeah, I know this comment, and I have no idea who it is. Let's see, three TJs. It's not...
Although Blank is entering what should be his physical prime, the human body has its limits, which is the kind of thing that you would include to tack onto a profile if you edited it.
It's not Medlin.
No. Your guesses aren't bad. You're at the ballpark. You're guessing guys that have, I think, had...
Two, right.
...a larger impact than this guy. I mean, he's played. Like, he's
faced 84 batters.
Played. Well, he did last year. I mean, he's had a career.
It's not Andrew Bailey.
It's a young career. It's not Andrew Bailey.
Well, he's not too young. He's had three TJs, though.
You're getting warmer team-wise.
Well, okay, that's not... I give up. I don't have it.
Jared Parker.
Poor Jared Parker. Yeah, I remember. I didn't edit that chapter, but I do remember that.
All right, Meg, are you ready, or should I give him one more? This one you did edit.
The problem is that, like... This acknowledgement will definitely give away the author.
Bradley Woodruff.
No. I'm thinking about it because I had to look at pictures of this animal earlier today, and it made me incredibly angry.
Oh, you can have some fun with
Jim Tiger.
All right, Patrick, your next one. Here's the comment. Harry Pavlis, Dan Brooks, Kate Morrison, Craig Goldstein, Mike Farron, Mike DiBartolo, Doug Harris, Tucker Blair, and Doug Thorburn. Who was it?
Funk?
No. Not a bad guess.
I gotta think it's one of the old vets.
It is.
Rubio?
No.
Did he break the this year? I think he left though. Yeah, he left. I can't remember if he wrote it or not. He didn't write one of my chapters. This is the most boring part of the blisters.
We're done. That's Dan.
Okay.
Okay, but have you guys ever seen a bobbit worm?
A bobbit worm?
Yeah.
No, I mean maybe I just didn't address it properly.
Are you GChat friends with Greg with Craig? Because I had to look at pictures and YouTube videos of this terrifying. Well,
obviously,
creature.
He likes me more.
Do you guys talk a lot with him? I was emailing Craig. He's like, yeah, we GChat. I was like, oh.
we GChat during the day. Really? We mostly
I bugged him with a fantasy question this morning.
Yeah.
No, there was a worm when I was in Korea. We went fishing once, and I think the entire fishing trip was a ruse to have people give me worms that just basically could. They were like an inch long, and they would just open up their mouth and have teeth and clamp down on your thumbs as you were trying to put them on the hook. So that's all I remember. I don't even remember. Like, usually you go fishing and you don't remember whether you catch anything. I don't remember ever getting my line out into the water.
They could not look more repulsive.
Because
right now.
Because basically you took the hook, which is a normal hook. It there was actually a brand of hooks called Sexy Lure, and I was so impressed by the name of it that I bought a pack of them and took them home with me. I still have them.
Even though you had no Sexy Lure when you were on this trip?
This lead. I was carrying lead across the ocean.
Oh, God.
But there's these hooks, and there was these tiny worms. And you had to basically make the worm eat the hook. You were impaling the worm on the hook. And you had to kind of, like, lure it into opening its mouth so that you would just jam it on there. And I think, like that became the fishing of itself. Like, just getting the worm on the hook was the equivalent of catching a fish in real fishing. And I succeeded once, and I was very proud of myself, and then it fell off.
This is a bobbit worm. It would eat you.
No, it's not. That doesn't exist.
If you're still listening, you should Google that.
Yeah.
It lives on the bottom of the ocean. It is an argument for draining the oceans.
How big is it?
It
needs scale.
Okay.
Can I step in it?
Yes. The YouTube
okay.
video I watched of it, it ate a clown, like a lionfish.
Okay.
With the big plumes.
Like Nemo.
No, not a clownfish, a lionfish. Like with the.
I was trying to tie it back together for the end.
He ate up Brandon Nemo.
So
basically, everything is the worst, you guys.
Brandon Nemo, yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't have to exist if you don't let it.
If you don't think of it.
Yeah.
We're never going to, like, go see that.
No.
No.
It's not
going
to see us.
We're never going near the ocean ever
and
again.
And if you're down there, you can't see it anyway. So, I mean, it'll just kill you without you noticing.
God, everything is the worst.
All right, well.
You want one more?
All right, one last one, and then it's time to close this thing off.
All right. The top arm in Seattle system, Blank entices evaluator for the sinking mid-90s fastball.
Edwin Diaz.
Yeah.
Yay, I know who the best prospect pitcher in the system is.
We're on the list.
All right. I am supposed to both buy milk and ice cream, according to the phone on my table.
The second part sounds fun.
So many dairy products.
Yeah.
Well, this was delightful.
Yes, it was.
Let's do it again.
Thank you guys for coming. Except
thanks.
Less so for Meg, because she lives here.
I do live here, but thanks for having me anyway.
You know, there's opportunity costs, so, I mean, you could have been watching Cheers, I guess, and you didn't.
No.
That would have been very awkward.
I mean, it would have been weird if I'd been sitting in my living room watching Cheers.
Well, you could have, like... It's on Netflix, right? You could have watched it in here. If you chose to watch it in the other room while we did the podcast, that would be...
It might explain my performance
super
tonight.
Awkward. We should have done more 80s Red Sox profiles, and then maybe you would have gotten it. Have you ever actually seen Cheers in your life?
I have seen Cheers in real life. Well, on that note...
You know, the millennials these days, you can't count on them consuming the classic media from my childhood.
But it's nice to know that you can go where everybody knows your name.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you guys very much for listening. If you succeeded in reaching this point, we appreciate it. Go ahead and take your score from tonight's game if you were playing. Put it on a post-it note in a self-addressed sample to Nathan Bishop, care of Bainbridge Island. He's on Bainbridge.
Port Orchard.
Yeah. Isn't that the same place? I don't know. I don't go over there. I stay on the mainland.
He would fight you.
But only because you included Austin Jones.
If you see Nathan Bishop, just tell him your score. Don't give any context to it. And just wait expectantly. He will handshake your hand. Thank you very much. Have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I was dying.
Oh, no.